Yeah, well, thank you, Pastor Dwayne, and good morning, church family. It's so wonderful to be here this morning, to be able to preach the word to you guys this morning. I'm super excited for this opportunity. And as Pastor Steve mentioned, this is the last Sunday of 2025. So as the rookie, I get the last Sunday of 2025 to send us off into the new year of 2026. Yeah. Thank you. And this week was also super special, too, because it was Christmas time. And I don't know about you guys, but Christmas time is one of my favorite seasons of the year. Once October hits, my mind is on Christmas. I love Thanksgiving too because of the food and family, but at Christmas time, you also get really good food and you get family time, so it's like the best of both worlds, and you get presents. And being Puerto Rican, my mom being from Puerto Rican culture, Christmas doesn't end on the 25th. We keep going until January 6th, Three Kings Day, so we keep celebrating for a whole couple weeks, so I'm still in the Christmas spirit. I want to give a warm welcome to my mom and dad and my family at home watching back in warm Georgia. So happy that you guys could be watching. But yeah, Christmas time for me always as a kid was one of those things that was like just excitement and anticipation of the next morning. One of our traditions is we like to watch the movie It's a Wonderful Life every Christmas Eve. So we watch that late at night and then we go to bed. But as a kid, it's always so hard to fall asleep when you know that something big is coming the next day. Even as an adult now, like last night, in preparation for this, all I could think about was this moment right here. As I'm standing here on this stage, and I was like, excitement, anticipation, but also a bit of nerves, because there's a lot of you here, and I'm so happy to see all of you. And so that same feeling of anticipation is what our passage this morning is going to build on. Our passage this morning comes from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And on Wednesday, we just finished up our Merry Christmas From series, and Pastor Steve spoke from Paul's letter in on Christmas Eve. So this sermon isn't directly tied to that series, but it kind of gives us a broad overview of what we talked about in that series. So go ahead, if you will, and turn to your Bibles to John chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was fully God, and the Word was with God in the beginning. All things were created by him, and apart from him, not one thing that was created that has been created. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. And the light shines on in the darkness, but the darkness has not mastered it. Pray with me. Father God, we are so thankful to be here on this last Sunday of 2025, Father. Our hearts are filled with gratitude, Lord, of the celebration we had on Christmas Eve and the Christmas Day of celebrating the incarnation and birth of your Son, Jesus. As we sang this morning, Lord, let our anchor and our hope be placed in the rock, Lord. And as we turn a new leaf over and 2026 starts this week, Father God, I pray that those same passions that we've had burning this whole year carry on and continue to burn even deeper in 2026, Father. So we love you and we thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, this first five verses open up with a lot, right? There's a lot in these first five verses, but we're going to start with a little context. So the Gospel of John is the last of the four Gospels, right? So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, the first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are what we know as the Synoptic Gospels. There's a lot of continuity in those three Gospels. They have a lot of the same themes. But the Gospel of John is different. It's over 90% different than any of the other three Gospels. The Gospel of John focuses a lot on the theological and the divinity of Christ. You have the seven I am sayings in the book of John, and there's a lot of dialogue compared to Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So this morning we're going to look at three points of this scripture, and we're going to kind of go verse by verse. The first point we're going to look at is Jesus is the Word who is eternal. Now, the very opening of this verse, of verse 1, begins with a very famous phrase in Scripture, in the beginning. Can anyone tell me where that is also found in Scripture? Yes, Genesis. So Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So right from the start, John is making a direct parallel to the book of Genesis. He's going back to the beginning, the time before existence existed, when nothing was there. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was fully God. Now, this is familiar language. The Gospel of John was written for a Jewish audience. So immediately they would recognize these words in the beginning. This is eternal language. This is the language of creation, Genesis language. So he's making it clear to us that Jesus' story doesn't start in a manger in Bethlehem. He doesn't start in Mary's womb. He doesn't come on the scene as a healer and a miracle worker already. No, Jesus was. Before existence existed, Jesus was already there. Now, why does John call Jesus the Word? Well, in ancient Greek, the Word translates to logos, which we get our English word, the Word. And in Jewish thought, this was the powerful self-expression of God. And for the ancient Greeks, they thought of it as like the self-ordering of the world, of the universe, right? So John is telling us that Jesus, the Logos of God, this powerful self-expression, is Jesus. And right there, in the first and the second half of the verse, it says, "And the Word was fully God." John is making it clear and obvious to us that Jesus is fully God. He's not something that was created or something that came after. He wasn't God's cousin. He wasn't just a servant that God was like, okay, I'm going to make you, and then bam, you go do everything. No, Jesus was fully God, 100% divine. He wasn't like God. He wasn't close to God. He was the Logos of God, the divine word of God. Now, in 318 AD, there was a man, a priest, his name was Arius. He began teaching what we now know today as Arianism. So his teaching, he began teaching that Jesus wasn't really the Son of God, that he was merely a created being. If you remember a couple months ago, Pastor Steve went through 2 Peter and we talked about false teachers. Well, today, the Jehovah's Witness, one of those false teaching groups, they change verse 1 and at the end they say the Word was like a God, little g God. And Mormons too, Mormons believe that Jesus was the result of a heavenly procreation of sorts. Like a heavenly father and heavenly mother came together, and then bam, Jesus was there. So in 318 AD, Arius started preaching this, and this spread like wildfire. I mean, this is the early church. This is the early stages of the church, and already there's kind of a rift starting to form between two sides. On one hand, you have a group of pastors and priests that are preaching, you know, Jesus is fully divine. He's fully the Son of God. And on the other hand, you have this new kind of teaching that, no, Jesus is something that was created and he came after, and he wasn't really there in the beginning. So, right, about 7 years later in 325 AD, the leaders of the church were finally like, hey, look, we need to get together and we need to bring the church back to order. We need to come up with something and we need to make a stand that Jesus is the Son of God. So in 325 AD, the church had its first worldwide council called the Council of Nicaea. So leaders from all over the church world came together, and the central question that they were asking was, is Jesus of the same substance as the Father, or is he just similar? And we're going to look at two Greek words that kind of gives us, distinguishes for us. So the first one we're going to look at is homoousios, which means of the same substance or of the same essence. Right, so is Jesus homoousios? And the second one is homoousios, which means of similar substance or being. So kind of like what Arius was teaching, that Jesus wasn't of the same substance. He was just similar. He was close to God, but he wasn't fully God. And we're going to pause for a moment. Can anyone look at those two words and tell me what's different about them? Yes, the letter I. Homoousios versus homoousios, the double O versus double I. Right, so kids, I want you to think about it this way. Imagine you're going to the grocery store, you're at a restaurant with your parents, and someone comes up and they're like, hey, is this your son or is this your daughter? Imagine if your parents were like, oh yeah, she's kind of like my daughter, or he's kind of like my son. Right, you would be kind of shocked, right? Like, whoa, like, you're my mom, you're my dad, like, you should claim me, I'm fully yours. So that's what these two Greek words are distinguishing here. They're distinguishing and saying that is Jesus of the same substance or is he of similar substance? Now, the council didn't invent Jesus' divinity. They held to what Scripture taught. So after this worldwide council, they drafted what we know as a creed or confession, and we know it as the Nicene Creed, which is basically the tenets of our Christian faith. They drafted this document and said, hey, if you can't align to these points, then you're not a believer. So this is another practical thing for you. If you're looking at a church or something, make sure that they can hold to this creed, that they can hold to these tenets of faith. And we're going to take a moment this morning and we're going to read this creed together. So, all together, we believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father before all ages, God, from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and was made human. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again according to the scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. He proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and Son is worshiped and glorified. He spoke through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We affirm one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead and to life, the world to come. Amen. So that quick note, that word Catholic there, it's not the Roman Catholic Church as we know it, but Catholic merely means universal. So we believe in the one holy universal church. Right, so the council right there lays out Jesus' divinity, that he's God of God, he's a light of light, he's very God of very God, he's begotten and not made. He's of the same substance as the Father. So that's why what you believe about Jesus matters. Because if Jesus isn't fully God, then he can't fully save. And if he isn't the creator, if he was created, then he can't be the creator. And if he is not fully eternal, 100% divine God, then he isn't worthy of our full trust or worship. That means when we pray, when we worship like you just did this morning, we're not worshiping something that is lesser than us. We're worshiping something that is transcendent. One God, the full God, Jesus, the Logos of God. And when you trust him with your life, with your salvation, and you place your hope in him, you're placing your hope and your life in the hands of God himself, the Logos of God. And if Jesus is this Logos, the divine word of God, fully eternal, then he's not someone that we just admire. He's someone that we follow. So if Jesus is truly God, what does he do? Point number two, Jesus is the word that creates and sustains. Let's look at verse 3 now. All things were created by him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. Right? All things. That means everything. All things. Every star in the sky. Every animal. Every mountain. Every river. Every part of your body. All things. God made all things. One of my favorite things to do is watching the sunset. And, you know, when the sun is setting, it casts kind of that orange and pink across the sky. And if you have a little bit of clouds, it almost looks like a picture that someone painted, right? And you can almost see the brush strokes. And I always think to myself, like, man, how beautiful is this? Or when I'm hiking, like this past August, I got to go to Washington. And one of the things I thought about was sitting at the top of that mountain is just like, wow, the beauty of it, just the wonder. And when you recognize that in creation, you recognize the beauty of life around you, you're seeing the beauty and creativity of Christ, the one who made all things. We can see back in Genesis that the Word has been creating from the very beginning. Genesis 1, and God said, let there be light. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered into one place. And God said, let the land produce vegetation. And God said, the word of God going forth the divine word, the Logos, Jesus going forth and creating. In the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, we can see the same thing. It confirms this. In these last days, he has spoken to us in a son, in whom he appointed the heir of all things, and through whom he created the world. Paul says it even clearer in Colossians chapter 1. For all things in heaven and earth were created in him. All things, whether visible or invisible, whether thrones or dominions, whether principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Now, Scripture gives us no doubt that this word, the Logos, is Jesus. He's fully divine. It confirms this. Think about this for a moment. This is for the kids. Imagine you're playing with Legos, or you have some building blocks, right? Or like a Jenga tower. Now imagine you stack a block by block by block by block by block, and you just keep going up, 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 and up. What happens if you pull one of those blocks out from the bottom? Right? It all falls down, it all crashes, and it makes a loud noise, and they hurt when you step on them. So Jesus is that same thing. The only reason this big, beautiful blue world and the galaxy hasn't fallen apart is because Jesus is sustaining it. Jesus, the Word, the Logos of God, he creates and sustains it. That means the same God who spoke light into existence, who at his word the galaxies formed, who at his word man was made, who breathed into man's lungs and created him. That's the same God that's sustaining you right now. Now, if Jesus is the Word who created all things and sustains all things, then he isn't just powerful enough to save you, he's powerful enough to hold you. Jesus didn't create us and then say, all right, well, my job's finished, have at it. No, he spoke and galaxies formed. He's actively sustaining our lives right now. Every heartbeat, every breath that you take, every morning when you roll out of bed and your feet hit the cold floor and you're like, woof, it's cold, but I'm breathing another morning. That's grace and power that doesn't come from us. It comes from God, the Logos, the divine word of God. So my question this morning for you is, what are you trusting to sustain you? Is it your job? Your health? Maybe it's your retirement account. Maybe you're thinking about, man, you know, I'm stacking this for retirement, like this is going to get me through. Because if Jesus is that divine word, the Logos of God, the one who spoke and light formed, the one who spoke and all things were made, then what is there to do but to trust him, to fully place our full hope and trust in him? Jesus is the word that brings life and light. Now, verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. We're going to pause again for a moment and have another Greek lesson. Now, if you haven't already caught on, Greek is very important when we're talking about Scripture, especially in the New Testament. It gives us great context. So I encourage you, guys, if you can find one, find maybe a Bible that has the Greek and English next to it so you can look at those words and what they mean. So the first word we're going to look at is bios. This is our physical life, what we have right now. This is where we get the English word biology, the bios. So an example of bios in Scripture is in Luke chapter 8, where Jesus is talking about the parable of sower. And he's talking about the different types of ground that the seed can fall on. In verse 14, he says, the seed that falls among the thorns is quenched out by the riches and pleasures of this bios, this physical life. Our second word is psuche, the soul life. This can be our mind, our will, our emotions. So an example of this is in 1 Timothy chapter 2, where Paul, he's urging us to pray for kings and governments and all kinds of people. At the end of that, he says that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life. Psuche, a soul life, that we can have peace here. But in verse 4, John uses the Greek word zoe or zoe. Do we have any zoes here this morning? Okay, so zoe, this is the uncreated or eternal life. So probably one of the most famous passages of scripture is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting or eternal life. Zoe. So because of that sacrifice, because of that incarnation of Jesus being born from a virgin and his shedding of blood, we now have that eternal life. As humans, we only have the bios, the physical life, and we have psuche, the soul life, our mind, will, and emotions. But that eternal or uncreated life comes only from God. And again, because of his shedding of blood on the cross, we now have that gift of eternal life. The life of Jesus is our light. In verse 4, the second half, it says, and the life was the light of mankind. Jesus is the only light that lives in us. From the time of Genesis, when sin entered the world, the humanity has been living in darkness. I think that's pretty obvious. You can turn on the news for 5 minutes, and I'm sure that you could see how dark and broken this world is. There's no life. We're in spiritual darkness. And Jesus is that only light. But verse 5 gives us hope for something more. And the light shines on in the darkness, but the darkness has not mastered it. Look at that verb tense there in verse 5. And the light shines. Present tense, it's ongoing. It continues to shine. It's not shined as in one time. It's present. It shines forth. So no matter how deep, no matter how heavy, darkness can't overwhelm the light. Darkness is just simply the absence of that light. So from the moment that the divine word, the Logos of God, from that very moment that he entered human history, from his incarnation, darkness trembled because the light of the world came. From that very moment, his divinity, that light that is in him, that light that is our life, shone in the darkness. Now, darkness, it celebrated for a moment. We know that the crucifixion, when Jesus hung on the cross and he said, it is finished, tetelestai. Darkness celebrated for a moment. Pastor Steve mentioned this last week about the darkness, you know, throwing a party in hell, finally saying, finally, we got one, we got a victory. But what darkness didn't know is that Jesus' death set up the greatest victory human history will ever know. Jesus carried the cross. He died and shed his blood, and he stole the keys of death. Think of the hymn that says, O death, where is thy sting? It's right here, Jesus shedding his blood, the light, the life of mankind. That means that that darkness in your marriage, it's heavy, but it can't defeat the light. Can't defeat him. Darkness in your past, maybe you're carrying addiction, shame. It can be loud, but it doesn't have the final word. Later on in John chapter 8, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and pat you on the back. No, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Now, who's Jesus talking to in this passage? The disciples? Okay. So yeah, the disciples, the followers, us, he's talking to us. Our jobs as believers is not to create light. We can't create out of nothing. We can't just say light and boom, light appears. We can't do that. Only Jesus, only God, that divine word, the Logos, can do that. We can't save ourselves. But we don't need to, because the light is already in us. Notice Jesus doesn't say create light. He says shine. Because that light doesn't come from us. It comes from him. That means when we forgive, his light shines. When we speak truth in love, when we choose obedience, when we stand firm in an evil world and we say no to sin, his light is shining. Whether you're in the grocery store, or you're at your job, or maybe you're having a conversation with an unbelieving neighbor, your light is shining because you have that light in you. It's shining forth. He alone is the source. He alone is our victory. And because he lives, darkness can never get the final word. So darkness can be loud, but it cannot win. Can't defeat him. We're going to pause here. I'm going to invite Mandy and Emmanuel Kids to come up. We're going to have a little illustration for you about that light and darkness. So parents, if you're okay with your kids coming up to the front, we have Mandy's going to be up here. We have some little gifts to give to the kids. Yep, come on. All right, so each of you grab a flashlight. Be careful not to shine in anyone's eyes. We don't want anyone going blind. That's okay. You can turn it on. Make sure it works. Just don't shine in anyone's eyes. test it out. Go ahead and shine it on the floor. Yep, it works. Does yours work? Okay, good. Yours works? Okay, good.
Mine does.
Yeah, Mandy's gonna be the Miss Mandy's gonna be the leader, so she has the big light. Okay, we're gonna get to that in just one moment. you're ahead of the curve. So in just a second, we're gonna turn off all the lights in the sanctuary.
Okay.
And we're gonna get it dark. And then Miss Mandy, you guys are gonna follow Miss Mandy, and she's gonna take you to the darkest part of the church. And so follow her, and she's going to tell you. We'll count down all together, and we'll go 3, 2, 1, and then we're going to light up that section of the church. All right, you guys ready? Okay, let's go ahead and turn off all the lights. You guys can turn your flashlights on so you can shine the way. Just keep them pointed to the ground. Don't shine them in anyone's face. That's good. Conserve battery. All right, is everyone ready? We're going to count down with them. 3, 2, 1. Shine those lights. All right, we can go ahead and turn on all the lights. And kids, you're good to go back with your parents, and you can keep those lights, those flashlights. Merry Christmas. It's my gift to you. Every time I preach, I'll make sure to give you guys a gift. Yeah, I got to win them over somehow. Of course, yeah. Thank you for helping out. All right, so you see just how that little bit of light lit up that entire dark corner of that room. Just a tiny bit of light. It doesn't take a lot, just a little bit. Maybe some of you came here this morning carrying some darkness. Maybe 2025 has been a hard year. Maybe it's just been one thing after the next. And with 2026 just coming up this week, maybe it's like, Lord, I've barely survived 2025, and now we're about to turn over a new leaf into 2026. Like, how am I going to get through this? And if that's you this morning, I want you to hear me clear. The darkness has not won, and it will not win. The light shines. Present tense, ongoing. It continues to shine. And the darkness has not, and it will never master it. As I said earlier, darkness can't get any darker. It's merely the absence of light. As you leave here this morning and maybe later in this week in your quiet time before the new year, I want you to just pause, maybe take 10 minutes to just think about that light, the light that you carry, that light that lives in you, the light that Jesus, the life of Jesus living in us, and that light that shines out of us. Think about those moments where you can let that light shine. Let it be in the ordinary moments, in conversations, the grocery store, in tough situations, because you carry that light into those situations, those dark situations, you carry that light. The light is powerful enough, as we just saw, to light up even the darkest corners. The darkest parts of your life can be lit up by the light of Jesus and his life. As we read earlier, we read of God's his love and desire that he loved us so much so that he sent his only son to die on the cross. So if you're watching online or if you're here this morning and you don't yet have that relationship, you don't yet have that light, and you're like, man, I want some of that. I have some dark parts in my life and some darkness I'm dealing with that I want him to light it up. Well, in the book of Romans, it tells us if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. And that light will live in you. Because of his shed blood on the cross, because of him stepping into our world and casting off glory to be made fully human, 100% human and 100% divine, we now have that gift of eternal life. If you're here this morning, you just said that, I encourage you to either grab me or one of the other pastors here, and we'd love to talk with you about that. And for those online, we just read it. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, and you will be saved. Ask him to light up those darkest parts of your life where you don't think any light can reach it. Ask him. Light doesn't have to be loud to be bright, because even the smallest light can light up the darkness. The good news of Christmas is this. The Word became flesh. Light entered darkness, and darkness did not and will not overcome it. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity to come here and worship, Father God. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Lord, the shedding of his blood, the perfect sacrifice, Father, to cover all sins. We thank you for your life. We thank you that you are the light, the true light that lives in us. Lord, I pray that as we go about our days and our weeks, Lord, that we can stop and think, Lord, how can I let my light shine today? We know the old hymn that says, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. So, Father, we pray that. Help each and every one of us here this morning, let our light shine. As 2026 comes up, Lord, you know, this world is in darkness, Lord. It's in spiritual darkness. So give us the strength. Give us the courage to stand, to choose obedience, to speak truth in love, and to stand firm, Lord. Because the darkness has not mastered it. The light shines, Father. We love you and we need you, God. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you guys so much for being here. Happy New Year. This is the last Sunday of 2025, so have a blessed week and a happy New Year. Thank you guys so much.